All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your kindness to us. And Father, thank you for the gift of music. That, Lord, it is just a wonderful gift to use as worship, Lord, to you. And so, Father, as we talk briefly about it some more tonight and why we sing, Lord, I pray that you would be glorified and that you would help us, Lord, to think rightly about worship, in particular using music as worship, encountering God with music. And so, Father, would you bless our time tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to reiterate what I said the first night, and is that this want this to be an interactive class. Want to hear from you guys if you have thoughts or questions. And so this first night, you remember we talked about worship is much bigger than what we do on Sunday morning, much bigger than just the singing portion or the music portion, that it's a way of life, that we're called to glorify God in everything we do and have our minds set on Christ, a Godward focus, whether you're driving nails or whether you're washing dishes or whether you're singing songs or playing music. It's all, as a Christian, we're called to orient our lives around Him and His kingdom. So, and then last time we got a late start because we were finishing up the lesson from the first night. And we started with, we asked this question, why do we sing? And I know some of you are out serving in children's ministry, so hopefully you have your notebooks. Who doesn't have the outline from last time? Okay, two people, three people. There were some extra notebooks. I'm not sure what happened to them. Do you have a copy, Connie, of the outline from last time? Okay, Jack has it, so just make three or four just in case others come in. And so we started asking the question last week, why do we sing? And gave kind of a brief historical overview of music and talked a little bit about all the 500 positive, favorable references to singing in Scripture, and over 50 direct commands to sing, such as Psalm 47:6, sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. And we noted that it's interesting that the longest book of the Bible is a book of songs, which is Psalms. Okay. And so, so we did a little bit of an overview historically through church history. Remember, congregational singing fell out of the church for a long time. Everything was going well for the first 400 or 500 years, but then the next 1,000 years singing was turned over to the professionals because the church was afraid that people would corrupt singing or use it wrongly. And it wasn't until Martin Luther came along and really obviously hugely responsible for the Reformation, but also hugely responsible for bringing congregational singing back into the church. But we got to the verse that we're going to look at. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, want to read this verse and see what are some things that we can learn from this passage of Scripture tonight. So somebody's got it, if you want to read it out nice and loud. Tim has, he needs a copy. Tim Moser. And Hannah. Chapter 3 of Colossians, verses 15 through 17.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Keep going. Yep.
Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
This passage, it's interesting. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, comma, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So I want to hear from you guys. What are some things just from that passage that we can learn about why it's important to sing or why God calls us to sing? Yes, Casey. Yep, he says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. So we sing to glorify God. What else? Tim. Yeah. Good. Yep. And we'll come back to Colossians 3:15-17. That's the first point on your outline. We sing because it enables us to remember and meditate on God's word to us. As Tim said, we sing to help us remember, you know, something that's difficult to remember as a spoken word is much easier to remember if it's put to music. It helps us remember for a long time. When I was a little boy, my dad used to sing this John Denver song called Grandma's Feather Bed. Don't know if you guys ever heard it, but we grew up just kind of singing that around the house. And now my children know that song and love to sing that song. And hopefully my grandchildren one day will. That's just an illustration of how that song, I learned it when I was the lyrics to that song when I was a little boy. And here I am 44, and it's still, I could just tell it back to you just like that. How many of you can quote a sermon or even part, let's say a sermon, part of a sermon by John Wesley? Can anybody quote one of his sermons? Part of one? God said. How many of you are familiar with Hark the Herald Angels Sing? It was written by his brother, Charles Wesley, who wrote a staggering 6,500 hymns, and some of which we still sing 250 years later. So singing not only helps us to remember, but it helps us to meditate on the words as well. It enables us to stretch phrases out. That would be weird if you were talking to stretch phrases out. It would sound kind of funny. Or to repeat things that we wouldn't usually repeat. You know, I wouldn't walk up to Jack and say, God is good. God's good. You know, God is good. That would be weird. We might do that, but we can sing, God is so good. God is so good. It allows us to stretch things out, repeat things so that we're meditating and thinking about what it is that we're singing. Or one of my favorites, it is well with my soul. Boy, that just gets drilled into you as you're singing that song and repeating that over and over. So when singing is combined with faith and understanding, it has the effect of driving the truths of who God is, and sometimes even driving exact quotations from Scripture, driving those things into our hearts in a way that helps us to remember and meditate. And here's what we need to remember when we gather on a Sunday morning or when we're gathered in a care group. As you sing and as I sing, guess what you're doing? You're also helping to drive that word into other people's hearts. It's what I love about corporate singing together. When I hear the congregation, when I hear you all singing, that does something to my soul. As I hear you saying those words, it's like, you know, we're singing to God, but you're saying them, and I'm being edified and encouraged as I hear the truths of what you're proclaiming about the greatness of our God. I think it's why it's so important that we gather and sing corporately on Sunday mornings or in care group settings. Or what about when guests walk in to the church and they hear singing? I want our singing to be full of life and truth that impacts them with the truth of who God is. It's the reason a lot of our songs are cross-centered, or they're focused on Christ and the gospel and what he's done for us. Because remember what Paul said, I decided to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. When you're singing songs that are gospel-saturated songs, and perhaps you have unbelievers or guests that comes in, they might walk away humming that song and thinking about the words, to whereas if they just heard it spoken, it might not have that same effect on them, or at least they may not remember it as well. So we want to sing truths about God's name, about what he's done. We want to sing of his majesty and wisdom and splendor, not splinters. And as I said, the gospel, you know, the cross of Christ and his resurrection. And as we do this, not only does it help the word of Christ dwell in us richly, but it encourages and builds others up as well. Why else do we sing? go back to the look at the verse and see if there's anything else that you can pull out of there. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Other thoughts? Yeah. 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 Yeah, good. Exactly what we were doing tonight, you know, in the congregational singing in the auditorium is cultivating thankfulness, you know, through song, through singing. Sometimes, as Bruce was saying, sometimes we might not feel that in our heart. And we sing in faith. And it's amazing the times that I come in here, even as the worship leader, and I just feel dry and I'm distracted by much stuff going on, you know, and I've got to see this person afterwards. I got to meet with this person. I got to do this. And all that stuff's running through my brain. But there's something about when we start singing that God does something in my heart and draws my attention to Him. And my heart begins to well over just with gratitude and thanksgiving for all that He's done. Good. Other thoughts on why we sing or why we sing corporately? You can cheat and look at your outline if you want to. It's interesting, you know, he says, sing with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I think we sing, number two, because it enables us to respond more fully to God and His works. And more fully, by that, I mean just, I'm going to read a quote in a minute that'll help explain what I mean by that. But there's, it's one thing to say something to God, and that's good. We commune with God in prayer and pouring out our hearts before Him, but there's something about singing to God that does something in our hearts as well. And that sometimes words alone just don't express what we're trying to communicate. But also it allows us, you know, notice it uses three different types of singing. The psalms, which are obviously the psalms from the Old Testament. Hymns, which may be New Testament songs written by men or you know, there used to be these worship wars going on, hymns versus choruses in the church. Thankfully, that's kind of settled down some. But, you know, my definition of a hymn is not just what's found in a hymnal. It's a song that is written by man for the purpose of glorifying and worshiping God. It's not a psalm that we find in Scripture, but it's a song written, like we mentioned, Charles Wesley earlier. And it's interesting. You know, I think of CDs as modern day hymnals because you can put a CD on worship music. Now you're not even using CDs anymore. Those are almost obsolete and everybody's going to MP3s. And there are hundreds and thousands of good God glorifying, God honoring songs that we can be listening to. And so it's like a digital hymnal right there that we can just play those songs. We can sing to those songs, sing along with them. And then spiritual songs, it probably means more spontaneous songs birthed by the Spirit. The point, I think, in the passage is that there's diversity. And this helps us to respond in different ways as we're singing. They're different. Think about it. There's so many different styles, different genres, different rhythms, different tempos. All of those things. Ephesians 5:19 says, sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks. Listen to this quote. I read this quote, I think, when I introduced the music class, but the point of it is this, that God's not interested in just getting words into our heads. He wants them into our hearts. And so John Piper writes, the reason we sing is because there are depths and heights and intensities and kinds of emotions that will not be satisfactorily expressed by mere prosaic forms or even poetic readings. There are realities that demand to break out of prose into poetry, and some demand that poetry be stretched into song. I love that, just that thinking, that sometimes words alone just don't seem to suffice. Well, some have taught that singing with emotion is dangerous at best and sinful at worst. There's a concern for emotionalism. And we mentioned this, I think, the first night. There is a danger because music is a powerful medium that moves us, can move us emotionally. Now, one side would say that's bad. You don't want to be moved by music. You just want to be moved by truth. So they would say, we don't use music. We don't need music. Like we can sing, and then there, a lot of times the focus is on, no, we don't need instruments. We just need to sing these maybe like Gregorian chants or something like that, that just help us, not get distracted by the music. The other extreme is people are so jazzed about the music. Oh man, that was an awesome beat. And we mentioned this, there's a danger of being so wrapped up in the music that we begin to worship the music rather than worship God, and make the mistake of thinking that because we felt moved emotionally, we were worshiping God, when in fact, perhaps our hearts were far from Him. We were enjoying the nice rhythm or the nice riff on the guitar or whatever it was. But there's a middle road that I think, yes, music moves us emotionally. Jonathan Edwards says this in his book, Religious Affections. The duty of singing praises to God seems to be given wholly to excite and express religious affections. There's no other reason why we should express ourselves to God in verse rather than prose and with music, except that these things have a tendency to move our affections. And so I would say this, that singing is meant to move us emotionally, but those emotions are meant to be focused and centered on and toward God and what He's done for us in Christ. And so we want to avoid the extreme of saying music's bad, we just need to sing songs because we're afraid of emotionalism, or getting so jazzed about the music that we've lost sight of God. What if we played our instruments and we sang our songs as worship to the Lord? And yes, the music ought to move us, but we recognize that those emotions, those affections then are directed to God, as we sing. That happens regularly in our Sunday morning worship times together. I enjoy, like that last song that we sang, This Is Our God. There's something about that song. Powerful song. Freely you gave it all for us. But yet the music just seems to fit so well. And there's this combination of music and lyrics that just lifts my soul to want to exalt God and praise Him. That's an example of what I'm talking about. Any thoughts or questions on that? Yeah.
And what I was singing was easy to say without believing, I guess, behind it.
Yeah.
The music that went along with it almost forced me to respond to what I was saying, because there was not only the verbal communication, this is what God says is true, but the emotions and the music, and also truly communicating, this is what it is. And I felt the effect almost more singing it afterwards than reading.
Yeah, good. It's a good example. I'm excited that our last class, I'm going to have Joel come in and speak on music as a language, and how, one of the things, I had him come in and do a little seminar for the worship team talking about, the way music is meant to support the lyrics that we're singing. And so there are different things that you can do musically that are communicating, that emphasize certain words, or when we get louder, perhaps there's a crescendo, not just with the volume of the music, but there's a crescendo of what we're saying. Maybe we're coming to a point in the song where we're exalting the majesty and the glory of God, and so the music gets louder to support that. And so music can be used as a language. So I'm not going to go into that, because I want to save that for Joel when he comes to the last class. Any other thoughts, Tim? Yes. Good. Good. Yeah. God gave us emotions as a gift. You know, we're happy, we're sad. Sometimes we're just crying out to the Lord in tears and sorrow. That too is a gift from God. You know, and some music reflects that. Many of the Psalms, when you read through the Psalms, they're Psalms of lament and just, oh God, you know, where are you? And I love the way the psalmist always comes back to, you know, I'm thinking of one psalm in particular, why so downcast, oh my soul, you know, hope in God. And so it's interesting in singing and writing these psalms, it's as if he's talking to his own soul as he sings these things and reminding himself, why so downcast, oh my soul? And he ends that psalm with, you know, hope in God. So good. Emotions, not bad. They're not sinful. They can be if we just are running after an emotional experience or an emotional high at the neglect or to the neglect or of really worshiping God. You know, because that's a danger, is just to run around. I want to experience this emotional high, so I've got to go to this church or this worship time, or because I need this emotional fix. In that moment, the emotions have become our idol, and we're looking to our emotions to bring a sense of happiness or peace or comfort rather than looking to God and the emotions being a response to what God's already done for us and in us through Christ. We're running out of time. So lastly, we'll say we sing because it enables us to reflect God's glory in us. God created singing. He created music. And he created melody and harmony and timbre and rhythm and all of those different things. And so when we sing, here's what I want us to think about. And it's difficult because of the language that we use. Sometimes we can communicate wrong things. And so when we say, we talked about this a little bit in the first session, you know, well, we're going to worship God now. Most people think of singing immediately. You know, they think of the singing portion of our service, or they think this, that, you know, singing or worship or singing using music is a means to help me encounter God. But I want you to think about this. Worship or songs, when you're singing and playing music, it's not just a means to an end. It is real worship to God if your heart's in it and directed in the right focus, directed on God. So some people might think of, I've heard people say this before, you know, they weren't trying to say anything mean or bad, or but they would say, you know, this Sunday morning or this worship time down here, that's just practice for what's to come. But that's not accurate. When we sing, again, it's not just, our hearts obviously have to be engaged with God. It is real worship before the very throne of God. It's as if on any given morning when we gather corporately, we are literally joining our voices with the thousands upon thousands around the throne who are always continually praising and exalting God, and we're just adding one more voice. We're just adding one more instrument. That's an amazing thought when you think, wow, when we worship, that's what's happening. We are, God sees, hears, receives our worship all because of Christ. He's made it possible for us to draw near to him and to sing these songs. We're seated, you know, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so think about that this Sunday. When you sing, it's real worship. It's not just practice for heaven. It's real worship before the throne of God. Any thoughts or questions on that? I've got more, but we don't have time to really go into. Anything else? Now I'm starting to get nervous because Gary's still not here. Oh, he is. Okay, good deal. I think it's going to be pitiful if I have to give a guitar lesson. Never given a lesson in my life. All right. Any questions, thoughts on why we sing? Things you'd like to add, say? I will say this to end. When we sing here on earth, it's not practice for what's to come, but it is a foretaste of what's to come. And by that I mean, we're sinful human beings. And when we gather on Sunday, there are distractions. Perhaps I'm wrestling in my heart. Maybe I've been mad at my wife that morning or my children that morning. And, you know, those are real realities of living in this flesh and living as this fallen human being. There are weaknesses. I'm tired lots of times on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or whatever. And there, it's like, Lord, just help me do this one more song, whatever it may be. Well, guess what? In heaven, there's no going to be none of that. No sin. Can you imagine what singing in the heavenly choir with the heavenly music will be like when there's no distractions, no sin, no limitations, no weaknesses on our part, and we're just able to fully, uninhibited, exalt God. So singing, it's not practice for what's to come, but it is a foretaste of a future glory that I just can't even begin to get my mind around. So I look forward to it. Anything else? Jack, would you pray for us?